Last time we saw some fundamental canonical forms for matrices. The last one was the sure canonical forms. Every matrix can be diagonalized by means of unitary triangularizer, sorry, by means of unitary transformation. This was the result. Now we use the result. This is the most important use of this result to show that if A is normal, A is normal if and only if A is diagonalizable we can say simply unitarily. That is, in this case, P is there. Normal matrices can be characterized in many, many ways. I think this is the most important characterization of normal matrices. One could say that a normal matrix is a matrix which can be diagonalized with a unitary transformation. How can we prove this? First, we show the implication from diagonalization to normality, which is simpler. In fact, we have that if there exists a unitary matrix U such that U to the H U is diagonal, we can write immediately A as U D U H. Then we write the product of A by A conjugate transpose and have U D. We have done something like this concerning with symmetric matrices last time. So you have finally U by D to the H, since D is diagonal, is simply D conjugate, because transposition does nothing. We can observe that this matrix D by D conjugate is a diagonal matrix whose entries are simply the squares of the absolute values of the corresponding entries of D. Now we write down the product of A to the H by A, and we will find the same result, in fact, you have u b to the h, u to the h, u b. You simplify as before. The only difference is that we now have dh by d instead of v by dh. But d and dh commute. Why? Because they are non matrices. So we find the same result. These two matrices are equal. So we have found that the two products are the same matrix. And we have verified that A is normal. This is simple. It's a little bit more complicated to show the left implication, that is, if A normal, then it is unitarily diagonalizable. Now we use the sure canonical form of A. We start from knowing that the matrix A can be triangularized by A. By a unitary transformation. So T can be written as U A U H. We have to exploit the assumption that A is normal. In fact, this implies that also T is normal as well. Also T is normal. This is a simple constatation, because if you like TH, as usual, th by t, you find uh, uh, u, no, this is u, a, right? Simplify, you find u, a, h, a, h. Then you express the product of t by dh. I omit the intermediate expression. Finally, you find u k by ah uh, but a is normal. So we can exchange a and ah in the product. And so we see that T is normal. But if T is normal and T is triangular, these two facts imply that T must be diagonal. Why? I have said
qui triangola,
upper
triangola, and qui normal, that is PHP
equal to TTH. And these two properties together imply that P is that is our goal. It is the thesis of this of our theory. This fact can be shown. Consider the first product, PH, E, C, on the right, by PH. Really, this is an induction proof over the rows of TH or the columns of T, the columns of TH or the rows of T, sorry. Because if we begin with the row by column product, first row by first column in both sides. On the left side, the element 1, 1 of the above product is first row by first column. Here you have only T 1, 1 conjugate. This is T. You have T 1, 1. You perform a product, and you have simply only T 1, 1 by T 1, 1. Here are all the zeros. The same element of the product on the right hand side is that is the sum of n terms, which can be written as this is T 1 K or J by first column of TH, which is the conjugate of the first row of T. So the elements that have to be written here are of the form T1J again conjugate. 4J, which goes from 1 up to n. Number by itself conjugate on complex numbers means the square of the absolute value. We pick out of this sum the first term, which is, we can write also this as T11 absolute value to the square, and on the right plus the sum of the left terms, J goes from 2 up to n, T1J absolute value. We find the result, a partial result,
but an important result, which can be used also on the other rows. We are on the first row. On the first row, we have deduced from the equation, which is in the definition of normality, that simplify these two terms, and we have here, we have 0, 0 is equal to a sum of squares. But the sum of squares is 0 if and only if all the number which have been squared are all 0. All these numbers must be 0. T1, with absolute value, but also without the absolute value, all these numbers are 0 for j from 2 up to n. This means that we have found that in this position we must have 0. This is the conjugate transpose, so also in this position we have 0. Zero. Then we, with the same reasoning, apply to the second row of T and the second column of TH, we will find that also in the second row of T outside the diagonal, we will find necessarily zero elements. This is the induction. And the result is that T must be diagonal. This result shows also the importance of normal matrices. We have already said several times that the presence of unitary transformation is very important, very useful for stability. And these, the normal matrices, these matrices are the only matrices that can be diagonalized with normal, with the unitary transformation. We conclude this long review concerning eigenvalues and classes of matrices with the definite matrices. As normal matrices, also the definite matrices are not so easy to be recognized by a simple inspection. Moreover, well, for normal matrices we can always apply the definition and compare A by H with AH by A. For definite matrices, the application, applying the definition, is not an easy task. So it's important to find some characterization and also other possible properties of definite matrices in terms of eigenvalues. We begin with this theorem or property. It is simple to prove. We will use again the sure canonical form for the proof of this theorem.
Now, I mind you that we are considering Matrix A, which is before all Hermitian. A is positive, definite, shortly B, D, if and only if, this is a double implication, its eigenvalues are positive. This is a characterization due to the fact that this is a double implication, but also this fact is not very simple to check. I mean, even if you know the result, the checking if a matrix A mission is positive definite is not simple, but because I have to know something about eigenvalues, and this is not always so simple to do. Anyway, the first implication from positivity to of the matrix to the positivity of the eigenvalues. We consider to start from the fundamental relation which defines eigenvalues and eigenvectors. We multiply both sides by themselves scalarly. No, we multiply both sides not by themselves but by x. So we write AX the same thing on the left, on the right side. So why this? Because we want to see a quadratic formula, since we have to apply the definition of a positive definite. I mind you that the definition is x, h, ax, positive for any x non-zero. Quadratic form, positive. So also the second right side must be positive. These are all numbers. The right side can be written as lambda is a scalar. XH by itself can be must be positive. In general, XH by X is a number non-negative, but we know that the vector is non-zero, so cannot be zero this product. This is the square of the Euclidean length we have said in last lectures. So here we have a product of a number. This is a real number. A is Hermitian, so we know in advance that lambda is real. Real number by a real positive number must be positive. So also lambda must be positive. This holds for every eigenvalue lambda of A. And we have found that if A is positive definite, then all its eigenvalues are not only real, but also positive numbers. In the other sense, conversely, suppose, assume that we now assume that the eigenvalues lambda, we number them with the substring I, we know that they are all positive. We want to see that the quadratic form is positive as well. Let us use the sure canonical form, which allows us to write A as U D UH, where D is diagonal one. Because A is Hermitian, which is a particular case of normality. We have already found that Hermitian matrices are unitarily diagonalizable before we saw this result from normal matrices. D is diagonal. We consider the quadratic form for x non-zero. The goal is to show that the quadratic form is always positive. This is the thesis. So the quadratic form can be rewritten as xh u v uh x. We recognize the same vector u h x on the left and on the right and on the left with the conjugate transposition. I mean, if we call u h x y, on the left, we have YH, this conjugate transpose of Y. So, we go on writing the quadratic form as YH, D, which is diagonal, Y. In case the matrix involved is diagonal, quadratic forms can be written in a very compact and short form. Let us help ourselves with the usual scheme. Now, the matrix of the quadratic form is diagonal. In general, when we explicit a quadratic form, we have a sum of about n squared terms. In this case, since this is diagonal, we have a sum of only n terms, which are of this form. We have a
factor y sub I conjugate, which comes from the first vector, multiplied by the corresponding lambda sub I in the diagonal, multiplied by the corresponding entry of the vector on the left, on the right. Wow. As usual, you put as a factor the scalar, recognize the squares of the absolute values of the entry, of the entries y sub I, you have a weight sum of squares where the the weights are the eigenvalues which have been assumed to be positive. Positive. This number can, some of them can be zero, but not all of them, not all of them can be zero, because if so, we would have epsilon y, sorry, the zero vector, but if y is the zero vector, then y was defined as 2h by x, would be the zero vector, but u is invertible because it is unitary, so we would have x the zero vector, and is not allowed because x was an eigenvector. So here at least one entry must be non-zero, and this is sufficient to say that this sum is strictly positive. So we have shown that for any non-zero x, the quadratic form is positive. The proof is ended. Well, positive, definite, positive eigenvalues, semi-positive, definite eigenvalues, non-negative, semi-negative eigenvalues, non-positive, negative definite eigenvalues, negative. There is a simple correspondence between the sign of the quadratic form and the sign of the eigenvalues of the matrix. We would be glad if a more friendly condition, more friendly in the sense that it can be checked more easily, could be given. Some comments regarding this last result. If all the eigenvalues are positive, this means also that the determinants of positive definite matrices are positive numbers. I mean, positive definite is eigenvalues. Its eigenvalues are positive, and this implies that the determinant of A, which we know can be written as the product of all eigenvalues, product of all eigenvalues, the factors are positive, so also the determinant is positive.
This implication does not work in the other verse. A product of number of several numbers can be positive and some factors can be negative, so we can go only in this direction. Another simple consequence A positive definite, another double implication we gave last time, or the previous time, I don't remember. All the principal minors, which are the principal submatrices, are also positive definite. This is more simple to see. And this is, I say this again, is a double implication. If the principal minors are positive definite, also call them let B be a principal minor, this implies that the determinant of B, a generical principal minor, is positive. This last condition can be seen as a condition which is possible to try to check. The negative aspect is that this is a necessary condition. If A is positive definite, its principal minors, which are many, have positive determinants. But this last condition can be reversed in the sense that it is also sufficient and can be weakened by considering only the leading principal minors. A positive definite, if and only if all the leading, I will explain now, right now, this leading principal minors have positive determinants. Till now, we can say that this is the most simple condition, necessary and sufficient condition for positive definiteness. The first implication in this verse is obvious. What is leading? Leading principal minor is a principal minor obtained considering the first consecutive k rows and columns. Matrix A, principal, leading principal minor, minori principali di testa, the exact term in Italian, one by one is A11. The leading principal minor, two by two, is the submatrix formed by considering only the entries on the first two rows and the first two columns, and so on. So we have only n principal minors, including the matrix A itself. A is the leading principal minors of itself, obviously. Oh, in this matrix we have already said that it's obvious. In the other application, we assume that we call AK, A sub K, the leading principal minor formed by the first K rows and columns. In the usual scheme, AK in this position. We assume that these n determinants are all positive. We want to show, we want to find that A is positive definite. The proof, we sketch shortly the proof, which is not so intuitive. Where is the proof? By induction on n, the size of the matrix. For n equal to 1, there is nothing to prove, because if matrix A is formed by only one entry, this condition means simply that the unique entry is positive, so all is true. We proceed by induction, assuming that the thesis is 2 for sizes from 1 to up to n minus 1. We consider a matrix of size n, and consider, since we want to prove the positive definiteness, the quadratic form. We proceed not only by induction, but using the way of contradiction per assurdo. We assume that A is not positive definite, which is the same thing to assume that there are some eigenvalues negative. We have already seen that positive definite is the same thing as all eigenvalues positive. We deny this property, so it means that there are some lambda sub I not positive. But we know also that
A, A
is positive. So we omit the sign equal, because no eigenvalue can be zero, otherwise this determinant will be zero. But if there are some negative eigenvalues, they must be in even number.
So we add n
eigenvalues.
It is not restrictive to suppose that
are the first m eigenvalues
negative with m even,
because if m is odd, the determinant would be negative as well. So determinant positive, a subset of eigenvalues negative, their number must be even. We must find a contradiction somewhere. We can proceed in this way.
We consider the quadratic form of A.
A is a mission, so we consider the diagonal form
U D U H X.
On the diagonal of D there are the eigenvalues, and we suppose that we assume that the m negative eigenvalues are in the first n positions. These are the negative eigenvalues.
Say y equal to u to h x,
and partition these vectors and the matrix u h in this way. This is y.
We consider the first m entries of y and the first m rows of UH. This is UH, this is X. The last column of UH, so we have partitioned this matrix in four blocks. And according to the column partition, we must partition X in two subvectors, the first n minus 1 entries, the last subvector is only one entry. Here we have instead n minus 1. We give some name to these subvectors and some matrices. Y1, Y2, X1, X2.
I use the same letters.
V, capital V, W, capital small W.
So, we consider a vector x with the last entry equal to 0. This proof is tricky, it's not so fluent, but it's the most elementary way to see this thing. And we try choose I write this. This vector in such a way that the second subvector y is zero. The question is it possible? To see if it is possible, we explicit this equation in terms of the various subvectors and submatrices. First row is y1 v by x1. The second gives second row by the only column 0, because this is what we want, y2 equal to 0 is equal to w by x sum. The second set of equation has solutions, has its solution. Yes, because this is a rectangular matrix, submatrix. The matrix W is rectangular. So, since this is a linear combination of its columns, it's always possible to find a non-zero linear combination, zero linear combination with not only zero coefficients of its columns. And the reason why W is rectangular is that M must be larger or equal to 2. M must be even. So its least value is 2. So here are at least two rows. This is only one column, and this means that W is rectangular. Rectangular in the sense that it has more columns and rows. So this system, this you have to see this as a linear system, as always x1 non-zero solution. From x1 you find y1. So we have seen that it's possible to find, given u, because u is given, because it depends on a, given u, it is always possible to find a vector, a non-zero vector, with a zero in the last position, which gives, in this product, a y vector with the last n minus n zero entries. What is the utility of the similar choice? Go back to the quadratic form. So it's y h b y.
this is a row, sorry, a row vector. We see now the importance, the effect that in these positions there are all zero entries, because in the product, in the quadratic form, we have simply the sum of lambda sub I until n, because this zero, these zeros, multiplies for these entries, which are zero. The trick we have performed has the effect of annihilate the contribute of these terms, and to maintain, this is a, this here naturally the squares of the absolute values. These eigenvalues are negative. So this quadratic form is negative. These are all negative. These are positive or zero, but at least one of these is non-zero. So this value, the quadratic form for this x, is strictly negative. Where is the contradiction? The contradiction is in the fact that since x has a zero in its end, in its last position, this quadratic form is also, has also the same values as x1 to the h, a sub n minus 1, which is the leading principal minor of order of size n minus 1 by x1. Well, due to this fact, these numbers are equal, so we have found the contradiction in the fact that this is a negative value of the quadratic form relative to a sub minus 1, which by induction assumption is positive definite. Here we have the induction assumption because the size is n minus 1. So we have found finally the contradiction. The contradiction has been caused by assuming that some eigenvalues was, some eigenvalues were negative. This is not possible. All the eigenvalues of A must be positive, and we have proved the result. Let us break for as usually for 5-10 minutes. If you have questions, it's a little longer.